Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm coming at you from Pechanga Casino, live in the Inland Empire, Temecula, Pechanga, California.
Wow. Wow.
Sunday, is it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday morning. Had a show here last night, and I've got a big week ahead of me, so I'm we're doing a couple episodes ahead of time. Yeah, I'm like an hour to the side of San Diego. I don't know what side. I guess it would be the east, because San Diego's on the coast, but yeah, you'd
be
in the water.
You're on an oil rig in the Pacific, doing comedy for the workers.
I mean, I could be. Casinos
Thank
are just
you,
all
Sunoco.
The same. Oh my God, I would just have to do that gig and then no other gigs, because they would pay so much.
They would pay you $40 million.
Yeah. Like what Chappelle gets for one Netflix special. How are you guys? Noah's in Arizona, pregnant as hell.
Yeah,
I had a baby shower yesterday.
Oh my God, I thought you were gonna say I had a baby yesterday. You had a baby shower yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how was it? Like, who came? Like,
sweet.
Do you have friends in Arizona? Yeah, you do, actually.
Yeah, I have friends.
The ones you met in that parking lot the first day you moved there.
The parking lot friends. So they held the party for me, which was great, because my friend Gail, she was like, you don't have to think of anything. Don't worry about it. You don't have to get anything. We plan this for you. So it was,
oh my
I just
God.
Got to show up, which was nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and then I had a couple of friends from jiu-jitsu come.
That's so freaking nice that you didn't have to do anything. So you just showed up. Was it, did they like have penis cupcakes? Or I guess that's not for, that's for weddings.
That's for weddings.
They have, what were the games?
So we did play some games. The first one was you have to create a bait, like as many girl baby names, because we're having a girl, out of the phrase Noah and Avi are having a baby.
Oh, that's
and then
cute.
Whoever makes the most wins. And then the next game was with the yarn, like whoever can get the yarn as close, like around my stomach, the length of it by guessing wins.
40?
Oh, so just to make you feel real fat.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
God. Was there a weight guessing game or?
No. No, okay. No weight guessing. But you guys can guess how much weight I've. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
please don't.
I mean, it's okay. That's the only time where it's okay to be like, talk about your friends gaining weight is when they're pregnant. You can like acknowledge it, because it's just, it is the truth, and they're carrying a baby, so they should be gaining weight. It'd be weird if they didn't.
I know, but everyone has their own special way of letting me know that I've gained weight. It's a little bit annoying.
Like, let's talk about the different ways.
Okay, well, you know, one of them is just like glaring at my stomach and like saying how much I've changed and grown. And
Oh, and you're like, not emotionally, because you're just, that's just not what they're talking
physically.
About. Yeah. Right. You're just spatially. So ready to be a mom. You're just so emotionally present and you're like sobbing because you're fat. Yes. So they're just, oh, you've grown so much. That's such bullshit. No woman wants to hear she's grown at all.
No.
Ever.
The other one is talking about like the height of my stomach.
The height? Like if you lay on the ground flat? Like you're that as tall as a basketball.
While I'm standing looking at the shelves at CVS, someone wants to comment.
Someone said that you're the height of your you mean like the width?
No. So it's like how high my big stomach is because according to the week that I am.
Oh.
So everyone has their opinion of where my stomach should be.
Is it annoying to go out very pregnant because everyone has to comment on it? It's like whenever I walk, I don't mean to compare it to this, but it's truly whenever you carry an instrument onto a plane and it's obviously an instrument, I would say 8 out of 10 times, someone either in the front seat, a passenger, or the flight attendant will say, are you going to entertain us? And it is, without question, 8 out of 10 times that will happen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, do the people ask you to entertain them when you're pregnant?
They ask me.
Because that's essentially what they're doing. Will you entertain me for a second so I can talk to you about what my experience was with pregnancy? Or, just project all the shit that I felt about it onto you. And usually they're like in the depths of raising a teenager, so they resent their child so much. So they're just like, they're only going to have a negative perspective.
Right.
Or do a lot of people give you positive ones? Like, oh, I remember. It was so fun.
I have to just remember that whoever makes a comment is usually, you know, like they're smiling and stuff. It's not like anything negative. I have to just remember they're coming from a good place. They're trying to relate to me through their experience, like you said.
Yeah.
And I just have to just kind of like.
You don't know that. Maybe they're not. You have a baby in there?
Well, I haven't gotten that, but it is interesting because I do have one person in my life who doesn't have a close relationship with her kids, so her expressions to me are a little bit kind of like negative. So I have to try to figure out how to like cut the conversation
like
off.
What did
it gets,
she say?
Okay, like the last thing was just talking about, you know, we're probably just gonna have one kid, but she was saying how her. Oh, God, I hope she never hears this, but I hope she... So she was saying how her daughter was telling her how, like, you know, she regrets being an only child and this and that. And I'm just like, okay, when she was a kid, she didn't know this, or, you know? So she, just kind of going off about that and then just how her...
What a dumbass. My mom was a principal for 35 years, and I asked her this. I asked her... Did you notice if there was a difference between kids who were only children and kids who were siblings in terms of how they were raised and what students they were? And she said, over my 30 years of teaching, I can honestly say that without a doubt, the only children were superior to the ones that had siblings. They were always better well-behaved. They always got better grades. They were better students. They were kinder. They were more attentive. And that's what you get when you have two parents who are able to give full attention to one child as opposed to, you know, letting them beat the shit out of each other on the bus like me and my brother did.
Mm. The one thing I hear about only kids is that they wish they had someone to talk about how crazy their parents were with, like to talk about their experience.
Sure.
But if I had an only kid, I would just make sure that they had a place to bitch about me. You know, like I want people to process how annoying I am that either have to work with me or have to be friends with me or have to date me or have to be my mom or dad. Like I don't want anyone to just struggle with that alone. Like that's why when Chris, Chris doesn't have anyone that he like that I know of that he really talks to about how like tough it can be dating me. Like he doesn't vent that to anyone, or at least he used to not. And then I was like, you need that. Like you need to call me a bitch to someone on a golf course. Like I want that for you because I am a bitch sometimes. And like, I want you to be able to say it to someone. And even if that person then has a negative view of me, that is so, you know, just charged from just all of this information that is only coming from a spiteful place and they're not hearing my side of things. I don't really give a fuck what that guy thinks. Like, you should have an outlet for me to be just villainized to someone.
Well, he does. And he has that empty coffee can
that he screams into?
Yeah, he screams into, closes the lid real fast.
He would
fast.
Never do that. He hates coffee. He hates the smell of it. He needs a, like, you need to complain about me. Like, you need to tell, like, even when I would catch my sister and my mom complaining about me and I would, like, hear it in the laundry room and I would be behind a wall, like, it didn't bother me because I want someone to be able to, because I know what it means to get it off my chest when I complain about someone really viciously without any empathy or, like, care.
Feels
that
good. Feels good for a minute.
Yeah, you just need to get it out. I want people to be able to call me that, like, to vent about me behind my back. Maybe it's because I have the old thing of, like, if I'm allowed to do it, they should be able to do it about me. Like, that's kind of what I realized when I was like, people might not like me. I'm like, well, if I get to not like people, I need to be able to be someone that's not liked too. And I enjoy not liking people so much.
See, I'm wondering how that plays into your insecurity about people judging you, like with your Instagram posts and all that stuff.
Yeah, I just assume it's happening all the time. Maybe that's why I struggle with it, because I know it's happening because I expect it to and I want it to. So I think that already. I don't know, but I don't really care what people think on Instagram though. Maybe I do. Maybe I'm not like I kind of let that one go because I don't check likes and stuff like that. I just, I don't want to look ugly on Instagram. And that's maybe for like one or two people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
like,
got it.
Or it's usually not for like everyone. But I think that, yeah, that's important. No, you'll be good. If you have an only child, you'll make sure that they have space to complain about you to someone. I know you will.
Yeah, she and Avi will just be bitching about
me
all the time.
No, it can't be that. It has to be, you have to find like a cousin or just get them friends. They need to have, you know, and the friend needs to witness you being a bitch. Like they need to like, there needs to be someone else that experiences the annoying parts of you as a mom so that person can have a witness, because that's oftentimes like, I want Chris to have like footage of me to play for someone so that they can see it and know that it's not just him making this up.
At least get like a cat or a hamster or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like a dog.
The kid can look at it and be like, can you believe this bitch?
Yeah. But I do think that only kids are more well behaved and just like,
they're better.
They're more mature.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Because their company is adults.
My mom's husband, Dominic, has a family member who is from, I don't know, Sweden or something, or Italy, and they have an only child, and every time I see this child, I cannot believe how smart she is and how kind she is, and she's like 8, and she talks to you like she's in college, basically. She's like, oh, Brian, it's good to see you again. Oh, wow. How are your teeth doing? You know, like shit like that. Like, and
whoa.
She's 8. And then she's like, I'm gonna go in the other room and read my books. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
That's having a little girl, too.
Yeah, she's a little girl, also. If it was a little boy, he'd probably be hitting me with a bow staff or something.
I mean, yeah.
That's what boys do. I thought it was just, you know, specific boys, but I'm learning pretty quickly that almost all boys are little monsters.
They really are different than girls. I mean, Poppy just, like, wants to watch Taylor Swift, and sometimes she wants to play house. Which is exhausting. I just know I could never be a mom because I can't play. I just don't have the imagination for it or something. But she's like, I remember playing house as a kid and being very good at it. But now you just lose that.
What is playing house?
She explained it to me. I go, okay, so she was like, Nikki, will you play house? And it's like so sad when they ask you and then you say no, which I've started doing. Yeah. And I see them once every 3 weeks. And I still am like, no, will you push me on the swing? I literally said no the other day. And because I was just really comfortable sitting. I just don't want to have to do everything they want. And they go make your own fun. That's why you have brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Like, why do adults have to provide everything for you? And I know that's my sister has never once said no to anything that they want to do.
You feel that pressure.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important to have kids have their autonomy from a very young age and just learn how to entertain themselves. And no is a very important word to teach kids.
And she just went on to my mom and goes, will you push me on the swing? And it just felt so sad that she just like gave up on me. She just took my no as a no, you know, like it wasn't like, please, you know, like I love you. And she was just like, no, Nikki's no fun. And it was just like, oh, wow. I'm like, I can't believe I just said no to pushing on our swing, which is like 5 feet away. And I just don't want to go do it. I could continue having the conversation that I am not even having. I was just sitting there listening to people's conversations, but I was so tired And I hadn't been with them for, I'd been with them for like 30 minutes. It wasn't like, it was like, I'm just worn out from these kids.
Yeah.
But I just don't have, so anyway, she asked me to play house. This is days before. And I wasn't, I hadn't said no yet to her. So I hadn't learned the power of that. But I was like, okay, what's, what is that? What are we going to, how do we do that? And she was like, well, you be, one of us is the baby, one of us is the mommy, and one of us is the Taylor Swift. Like, she knows how to get me. And I go, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I'm listening. And I was like, she was like, you can be the Taylor Swift. And I was like, I can't wait to play house. This is awesome. This is all I've ever wanted. Did I tell this already?
No. No.
So,
so what's the Taylor Swift of the house do?
So know, she hands me a microphone.
Swift? Oh, I thought like, they had like an affair.
We have like a karaoke mic. What did you say, Noah?
I thought mom and Taylor Swift have an affair.
Oh my God, that would be...
That's what my version of playing house is.
Yeah, I don't even know what... I think she just saw the deadness in my eyes as she said, one of us is the mommy, one of us is the baby. And then she added, one of us is the Taylor Swift. Like, she's trying... She's manipulating me.
Yeah.
And she got it because my eyes lit up. And I said, okay. But I didn't want to ask for the role of Taylor Swift. She was like, you'll be Taylor Swift. And I was like, yes. And then she handed me a microphone. Poppy, by the way, is four. She hands me this, like, microphone... this karaoke mic my parents have. And she goes, no, actually I want that one. And I'm like, okay, why do you need it? You're the mommy or the baby. We haven't determined yet, but I haven't, wasn't really listening when you gave yourself
a
role.
Do you have any Grammys? Because I think I need the better microphone.
Yeah. Like, why do you need to be amplified? You're just a struggling mother or a baby that can't really talk or, you know, already has good acoustics because you don't have tension in your body. That's why babies are, did you know that's why babies are so loud?
God,
is because
really?
They carry, they don't have any stress of the world yet.
Ugh.
And stress of the world tightens your whole body.
How
and
do
then
you
your muscles and your body don't reverberate as loudly. Oh. But when babies are relaxed, like that's why when you're singing, you need to be relaxed. Because if your body's relaxed, your whole body just like vibrates with
wow.
the sound wave. But when you're tense and you're singing, your body is just like screaming into a rock. And so it doesn't reverberate and you sound like shit.
Damn.
And that's the difference between good singers and bad singers. And that's why babies are so fucking loud because they're just relaxed wailing. They're not like, I'm embarrassed to be crying. They're just like, and it's their bodies are like one of those little Bose speakers you buy for your shower. They're so little, but they can really make a lot of noise. So anyway, Poppy is like, you have the microphone. And then she goes, no, I want the microphone. I go, okay, that's fine. I'll just use this pen or whatever as my microphone. And then she was like, actually, I think I should be the Taylor Swift. And I was like, actually, I'm not with any game where Taylor Swift is involved. I can still do this if I get to watch
she
Taylor
stole
Swift.
Stole it from you, though?
Yeah, immediately. That's
wow.
what Poppy does. Like, she'll want you to play with her. You'll do something that looks a little fun, and then she'll steal that role from you or that baby doll or whatever you're playing with. And then you end up just having to watch her play. And then...
Jeez.
And be quiet. So she was like, let's just... You watch me be Taylor. And I was like, that's fine. You know, almost as good. So I watched her and then I was singing along and she said, no, you just listen. And then she was singing.
Is this good for a kid to learn? Like, to that,
no,
that she gets to control every single thing that happens?
I'm not her parent, though. This is the way she, this is how she is. Okay. So I just go with the flow, like her being bossy. Because if you say, no, I want to sing, tears, crying, like, no, hitting, like, it's just not like, you know. She's four.
I get it.
They don't understand empathy. They don't understand other people have needs. I think they're supposed to around this age. And I did just say supposed. So I think they're supposed to around this age have that kind of stuff coming on, but hers isn't developing quite
This is
yet,
why I cannot
of, like,
be
other people
a parent.
Have needs and wants. I know.
I would just let the kid, I would say, fine, like you can't get whatever you want all the time. And I would just
let
them
cry. I would do
the
same thing, but until you have kids 24/7 and you finally give up because you can't listen to screaming anymore. So
yeah.
We think we would know what we do, but I'm speaking to all the parents that are listening. I know why you give in and give them the candy that they're crying about and don't put your foot down because you will end up like hitting them or something because of how loud and annoying they are. So it's just easier to give them the candy than to like
there
have
needs
them
to be
scream
I know
so
that we
that
can't hit
are,
kids okay
of course not
we can't but oh, there needs to be something else that can be done to make a kid stop crying
Pepper
that's
spray.
Like that they don't like that's
Peppa
not traumatizing
spray.
To them. And because the other way you can do it is you can be like evilly manipulative also and tell them a fucked up thing that will make them upset.
Well, that's what my mom used
to
do
to
is
quiet.
Just anytime I would because she was worried that I would run off and do things that would end up getting me hit by a car or drowning or like, you know, wandering off on my own. So she would tell me everything would kill me. And that you'll never see mommy and daddy again if you go outside the driveway or if you go down the street by yourself. So you'll never see them again. Not, like, it's not even like an issue of like you might be kidnapped. You will be. So I don't recommend that because you'll become a stand-up comedian because you'll be scared your entire life until someone hands you a microphone and then you'll let all your anger out about your repressed rage at being told lies when you were a kid into a microphone.
Exactly. Wouldn't it have been better if they just hit you?
I remember one time they used to like spank us gently. And yeah, like I just remember being like,
not good.
You're a pussy. Like, this isn't like, I remember thinking like you could go harder and you're not. And this is just embarrassing and kind of like sexual. Like there's something about it, like on my, your butt too, that is like, it's not good to spank kids on their butt, like, especially
spanking
little girls. Like you're bent over. There's something, I couldn't place it in my head when I was little, but like, that's my no-no area. And you're like hitting me in it. Your butt is your bathing suit area. It's like where people aren't supposed to touch you. You're told that. And then your dad's spanking you on it while you're bent over his knee. Like I haven't seen porn at that point in my life, but I would in the future. And that is 100% a porny thing to do. And it's not like I'm calling my dad porn. Like most parents, that's how they spank their kids, is on the butt. I think it's gross to do. I don't like it. And one time my dad almost hit me as a teenager. And I was old enough to know that, like, I think I probably told this on the podcast before, but I was just like, do it. I go, if you do it, Dad, everything will change. And I could tell he wanted to so bad, just slap me in the face, because I fucking deserved it too. I was being, you know, the most petulant. I knew what I was doing. I deserved to be hit. If I had been hit, we'd be fine. But I said, Dad, everything will change after this. I'll never, ever respect you again. Like, I went even harder. And I could see him just and he didn't do it. And thank God he didn't, because I really think it would have changed everything. Your parent hitting you in the face.
No, it's not
kid,
good. I don't advocate it at all.
No.
But I do have a solution, I think.
Okay.
You should have...
Wait, we have to go to break. Come back with your solution after the break. Hold on to it. Okay. We'll be back right after this with Brian's solution to not hitting your kids.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
All right, we're back. Brian, what do you do instead of hit your kids?
In the house, in every room of the house, there should be a life-size replica of the child. And when the child acts out, you should beat the shit out of
beat
that replica. Yeah. And then the child's like, no, my effigy. And maybe that will send the message.
Yeah, there was some, you know what? Okay, it's obviously a joke idea. Because
yeah,
that would
idea.
Be harming to the child because it would be representing them and you would see your parents' rage coming out and it just wouldn't be good. But I will say that there was like some kind of TikTok video where it was like the kids were supposed to clean their room and they didn't. So the dad was throwing their toys in the fireplace, but they were like, it wasn't real or whatever, but the kids thought it was real. And I remember reading the comments and hearing that that's very harmful, that that person, like your father doesn't respect your things or things that represent who you are and make you happy. And like, mm-hmm. that's not a way to punish kids. Who the fuck knows? Noah,
real, not joke solution.
Okay,
what if it's rewards based? So you have a jar of money or candy or whatever, and it's on display in the kitchen. And every time you, at the end of the week, you get whatever's in the jar. But every time mm-hmm. you do something wrong, a little piece gets taken out and thrown
in
the garbage.
That's better.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you what would happen with Arlo and Poppy with that happening.
Yes. What would happen?
If you took out something for 15
and then you
minutes.
Keep taking
that kind
out
of
more.
Wailing.
Don't you think they'd learn eventually?
So Poppy's
they'd adapt?
Like, give me that microphone. Here's yours. You also. When I would sing along, stop singing. And I go, what songs do you know? And she can't really come off at any off the top of her head, but she literally knows every Taylor Swift song that I know. And so I go, do you want to put on Eras and we can sing to it? And then that's what we did. And it was the best time I've ever had in my life. Okay. I just sat there and watched Poppy sing to Eras into a fake microphone that's amplified. But she's like, hurting the mic, like deep throating the microphone. Sorry to put that mm-hmm. image into it with a 4-year-old, but she's literally has sucking on the microphone, ruining it as it's on, singing Taylor Swift into the microphone. And then she sounded like really good, especially when she was like relaxed and wasn't focused on me watching her, which is what I've learned in singing lessons is when you're relaxed, you sound better. And so, but she was really quiet. You could tell she like didn't have a lot of confidence in her voice. And I was like, Poppy, like, I go, that sounds actually really good. And then she would get like a little bit like louder. And then I go, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like she would hit a note and I go, yeah. And then she goes, stop saying yeah. And like, so
oh
she just
God.
Is like yelling at me to stop singing. Stop saying yeah. You just watch. Easiest game of house I've ever played. So I'm just sitting in this lazy boy chair, lean back, filming her, watching her sing. And then I was like, sing louder. And then I just started being dance mom. I was like, no, I'm actually going to like, I don't care if you're telling me that I shouldn't coach you because you are really good and I believe in you. And I was doing exactly what I would have wanted someone to do when I sang when I was little, because I also had a good voice when I was little. But whenever my dad would be like, that sounds great, Nick, I would get really nervous. And then the pressure was suddenly on and I knew everyone was now listening and like making sure I was great because my dad just said I was great. And if now if I'm not great, I'm like, there's nothing worse than someone being like, oh my God, that was a really good impression you just did. Do it again. And then I do it again and people are kind of like, waiting for it to be good. That is like my fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's why I hate improv. It's like on the spot and people are expecting something of you. If I have a plan, then I know it's going to go well. But if there's no plan, fuck that, dude. I can't handle it. So instead I was like, Poppy, that sounds really good. Oh my God. And then even if it didn't sound good, I just kept saying it sounded good. So there was, I didn't allow myself to be like, no, go back to the way you were doing it. And then by the end of it, she was like hitting all of these notes. And yes, I posted it on my Instagram and I did get notes of like, hey, you shouldn't have a little girl sing that song. Cause she was like, in the middle of the night, in my dreams, you should see the things we do, baby. And I'm like, you know what? She could be talking about like they are jumping fences and breaking in and like, you know, getting a candy jar. That could be the things you're doing in the middle of the night. Like it could be like we're doing bad things. Like it doesn't have to be sexual.
No, they made it sexual.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so, and that's like the most sexual
They're
song a Taylor song gets. Like, can we just please have it? But anyway, I walked into the kitchen and I said, Lauren, this child needs singing lessons. We need to start her now. Like, I think I want her to be a singer. I mean, I think she wants to be a singer. I meant to say it the other way. I think this is her deep desire is to be a famous singer. And my sister goes, it's a little young for to start singing lessons.
Oh,
and I
no.
go, okay,
no, no, no.
I go, I'll pay for them. And she was like, I don't know. Well, does she want to? And then I kind of just, the conversation changed. And then later on, Lauren was like, and Poppy's doing dance again. And I go, isn't four too young to start dancing? I like got bitchy. I was like, isn't four too young to play soccer? Isn't four too young to do tumbling? Like, why can't she sing? Like, she likes singing. She's good at it. And I hate to, like, make her my child or my little project, but I know that she likes it. And I know that she loves Taylor Swift. And she could be Taylor Swift if we get in early. And yes, I don't want to make so it happen if she doesn't want to be, but I am going to pay for her lessons.
Since you're doing it, you understand like the value of starting her so young.
Yes.
And that will get her some discipline, like through music.
Yeah. If she wants it.
And confidence. And she doesn't know what she wants. She is really good. And if you learn to sing at that age, it's just a gift that will go through the rest of your life. And so much of singing, as I've learned, and I know that she likes singing as much as I did at that age. If you have any moment of feeling like you're not a good singer at a formidable age, you'll struggle the rest of your life to get it back. It's like you get broken really young. Your spirit can be broken so early with the smallest little thing, and then you won't. And it's just and singing is your voice. And especially for little girls, like even if your daughter, I would recommend singing to anyone who has small kids because it's teaching you how to be loud and heard, even if you suck. And I would recommend kids getting in some kind of choir. I think that's like just as good as like learning how to use your body and express with dancing. Why do all little girls do dancing, which is a focus on your body? Let's in a leotard where and you sheer. Look sheer leggings perform like, you know, which is important to use your body. But what about voice? Let's get kids singing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I still don't want kids. And it was fun to play house. And I love my niece and nephew so desperately. I can't even stand it. And I'm so grateful for them. I always just, yeah, nephews. Well, I'm still on the fence about Forrest. Forrest is just, no, he's amazing. He's the one that sees ghosts. Did I tell you guys that he sees
what?
Ghosts?
No.
He says ghosts. Well, the thing is, he started pointing out ghosts. And we don't know where he learned about ghosts. Like my sister can't identify where he saw a ghost and was like, that's a ghost. And now I'm going to point out ghosts. We think he just might be able to see some kind of dead people, but he's not scared of them. And what we do now is just go, are there ghosts here? And he goes, no ghosts. Like he'll confirm yes or no ghost as if it's like, is the room flooding? Like he's just like, no,
like
no ghosts.
Like there's just detector. No.
Yeah.
He's 2 years old.
No ghosts. Yeah. Two.
He's is that seeing when they're the like, spirits of his past life.
They actually,
there are people who used to say that. I interviewed a couple of people who talked about when you were a young baby, you still are connected to your past lives and you sometimes retain memories, but they fade away over time because you're
consciously. What's that tension? Like your body is like receptive to all things because of that. Like your muscles aren't just like, oh, I got to get up on Monday and go to that thing and I have to send that email. Like you're not filled like you're not like an old tree that's just like battered and bruised and stiff and like kind of creaking in the wind. You're just like a flowy
filled with bugs.
Yeah, you're like still you're like a sponge and you're just like malleable and open
damp.
And easy and damp and smelly. God, kids are just they don't smell because they all smell really good, but they just are so sticky. You know, you just can't wear nothing you wear around them will ever be nice. You can wear black, they'll get that dirty. You can wear white. I mean, that's just you're fucked. Tie dye is maybe your safest bet because they might, you know, it will look like intentional. That they put
why
something
are kids
on you, but
so sticky and
because they just don't care. They don't care that they have stickiness on them, so they just accrue it. You know, like when you get, we all get stuff sticky on us, and then we wipe it off because we're like, yuck. But the kids aren't just like, they're not aware of like feeling things.
Be older. That's what I say to children.
Well,
be older.
Well, here's the thing about Ghost Kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting on a plane a couple weeks ago, and I was like having anxiety about it. There was just some, I guess I was really depressed that morning, and I said on Girls Chat that I hope my plane crashes. So that was probably started it, was that like I literally earlier that morning was so depressed I wanted my plane to crash, and I literally was like tempting fate by saying like, please God, crash my plane.
You put it out into the universe.
Yeah, I put it out there, which, you know, I believe in manifestation. But at the moment, I really did want it to crash. I'm sorry for everyone else on that plane. I wasn't thinking of you. I was in a really bad state. But I did put it out in the universe. And then later that day, I like wasn't in the mood to die anymore. Like by the time the plane was like, I was at the airport, I was like, okay, things are better. You know, I had enough caffeine. I had smoked a little weed. Like I had like things just seemed okay, like on the up and up. And But then the weed, I think, was making me a little bit like overly sensitive to like feelings of dread. And then I was starting to ruminate on, oh my God, I put that on the air. And so I was like talking to God, like, please, I don't want my plane to crash. But I was just having a sense of like, this isn't good. Like, you shouldn't get on this plane. And I don't know what, I've had that sense a little bit in my life, but I've never... I know that there are some people that have it when they get on a plane and then they go like, I got to get off this plane. And it's just, the plane never crashes. It's just like your anxiety. Like we all have that feeling at some point where this isn't right. I'm not going to, but you can't really, there's no evidence for it, right? Like if I saw like the wing wobbling off, yes, get off the plane. If the door seems like it's going to fall off, get off the plane. If there's someone who is actively talking about hijacking the plane, get off. But like when you're just having a spidey sense, I can't be one of those people that gets off a plane because I'm just like, I don't know, I just have a feeling. No, I am not that person. I'd rather die than be that person. I because if you let so that bad, person in, they're gonna always intercept my life.
Yes, that's true. But man, if you're on that plane, you have a feeling, you say I'm staying on, and then it crashes.
I had a show that night.
Big old
I didn't
dumbass.
Have an option. I would have had to get on the next plane. And then what if that plane crashes? Like, what if God's, you know, like,
that would be just, ironic.
Right. So I just couldn't. So anyway, I'm on this plane and I'm like, they go, this is a very, it's going to be an empty flight, folks. So there should be no one in any middle seat. No one needs to be in a middle seat. It was a Southwest flight.
Very few people will die if this plane crashes.
Yeah. This isn't going to it'll make the news. Will it make an impact? Will it be remembered by its flight number in casual conversation? No.
Certainly
do you ever
not.
Do that with your flight number where you're like, this sounds like a famous flight number? Does anyone do that?
Flight 88.
Where like if your flight is like flight 417, like United flight 417, you're like, oh my God, that kind of sounds like a famous tragic flight, as opposed to like 412 doesn't.
Yeah, 412 but, like, always lands.
Like, think about the flights that have gone down, like American Airlines 77, like, or whatever, like it just
United
flight 77, or what's the one that went down, like they just always sound famous. And this is all just in my head.
Well, they sound famous now because they've been made famous,
right. But sometimes there are, like we were talking about, my like Nikki and Sarah sounds better than Sarah and Nikki. Like sometimes a flight number just sounds catchy in a way, tragically catchy.
I never thought of that, but I will now.
I know, I'm sorry to make anyone get this in people's head, but this is a good ending, okay? So I'm on the plane and I'm having anxiety. I'm like, oh my God, you idiot. Like, you're having thoughts that this is going to go down. You fly all the time and you never get that. You rarely, I would say one in 200 flights, I'm like, I'm kind of nervous about this flight for some reason. And it never has happened. But so I'm on the flight and then my sister, they go, there's no middle seats on this flight. Everyone should be aisle or window. I'm in the very front of the plane because if the plane goes down, I just want to die quickly. I don't want to be in the back where I'm just like, kind of like writhing around. If you ever are in a plane crash, you have a better chance of surviving the back, but you know you're not going to. So it's like, I would just sit in the front mostly if you're ever scared about dying because it'll be quicker. So I'm sitting in the front. A guy's already on the aisle. I get the window seat. So like, we're good. The second they say there's no middle seats, a woman plops down in our middle seat and is like, oh, I almost didn't make it.
God.
The security. And then she's talking right away. So I'm putting in my AirPods, putting down my eye mask. Like, I'm not talking to this insane woman. She starts going, and they got the flight number wrong. They keep saying 417, but it's not. It's 532. I don't know why they're saying the wrong. And so I'm starting to be like, what? And then I go, well, let me look at, is this one of those Air Max 7 or 8s that are the ones that everyone say are bad, which they aren't really. It's like, this is just the chances of dying in a plane crash, even in one of those that, you know, there's been a slightly more things going on with those. It's still, you have a better chance of dying falling off a balcony when you're hanging out at a party or something.
Especially if the balcony was made by Air Max.
Boeing.
Boeing, sorry.
There was a really funny thing. I got to do a shout out on The Daily Show. Jon Stewart was hosting. He was talking about, what?
Wait, you're shouting out The Daily Show.
Yeah, I'm shouting out like a really funny thing that I saw. Jordan Klepper, John Stewart was talking to Jordan Klepper about like, hey, you've got great shows this week, Jordan, because, you know, John only does Monday and Jordan was going to do the rest of the week. And so Jordan's like, yeah, actually, I'm not going to be here. I'm actually quitting The Daily Show and I'm going on to something bigger. And it sounded like it was actually happening. And John's like, wait, what? And everyone's like, the audience is kind of, he's like, I am... I'm going to go off and I'm going to be the CEO of Boeing. And John's like, well, do you have any experience in engineering or aeronautical, like technicians, even like business? And he's like, no, but I went to the interview and I brought this. And he had like a big wrench. And John's like, what? And he goes, and they saw this and they go, that is exactly what we've been looking for. It was just such a funny line that that's what they're looking for, is this just big, like kind of cartoonish wrench. Anyway, okay, so then I go, wait, maybe I'm on a Max 7 or 8. So I look for the pamphlet in front of in the pocket where the barf bag is to go, like, what is this plane model? Mm-hmm. And my thing is missing. The whole fold, oh, that shit. Little folder thing is
even
missing.
The barf bag?
Yeah, the whole, everything. Someone and then I look in the woman's pocket, and I was going to get hers, but then that would spark up a conversation with her. So I'm like, okay, so now I'm not even allowed to know if this is an Air 7 or Air Max 8. And also, like, on her card, it was just below it, so I couldn't read it. So I'm like, oh my God, this is God fucking with me. Like, he's letting me know, get off this plane, or whatever my version of God is. And I'm starting to panic. Then, here's the clincher. My sister texts me a video of Forrest. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Nikki, he just started talking about you, like out of the blue. And so she sends me this video, and Forrest, she's in the kitchen, right? And she's filming because she wants to catch him just mumbling to himself in the next room. And then she goes, and you just hear him mumbling, and she goes, what'd you say? And then the camera like turns and it goes into where he's playing. And he just turns the camera. He goes, bye, Nikki.
Oh my God.
And she goes, what'd you say? And he goes, bye, Nikki. And he's two, you guys. Like, it doesn't even say, it sounds like, bye, Nikki. Bye, Nikki. And she goes, bye, Nikki. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, where is she going? And he starts mumbling, and I'm trying to make it out. Like, where am I going? Like, does he know? And he's just, he's waving to the camera. And then she goes, he was waving out the window to you. Bye. Bye, Nikki. Which made me feel special because he hasn't really talked about me when I'm not there before. This is like a new thing. And that's very sweet. And I had been there the day before and I had said goodbye to him and we made kind of a thing of it. So maybe he was holding on to that, like, bye, Nikki. I was just like, should I tell my sister that I'm having these things? And like, should I check with... Because we haven't followed up on the ghost thing. The ghost thing happened like a month before. And I'm like, can he still see ghosts? Like, is this kid like... So I said to her, I was like, I was like, hey, do you know like why he's saying bye to me? Like, were you guys talking about me? Were you saying bye, Nikki? And she was like, no, it's just out of the blue. And I was like, okay, because I'm a little nervous. I'm on a plane that I'm having like some bad feelings about. And like, does Forrest, can he like see... I should read this conversation. I go, can he see... the future, because my sister was so not helpful. This is so ridiculous. Okay. So hold on. Let me just find it. I know this is okay. Oh my God. Okay. So she sends this to me. It's 12:16 PM, March 22nd. She says, he keeps talking about you. Bye, Nikki. Bye, Nikki. It's the video. I said, oh my God, that's so cute. I wonder what he's trying to say. So this is me being like, can you tell me what he's trying to say? Because afterwards she's like, why are you saying bye? And he's like, as a da-da-da-da. And then she goes, oh, what? Boy. He goes, as the visitor. So he says the same mumbling thing twice. Invisalign. So he's trying to communicate something, but it doesn't. So it's, you know, when like a kid says something mumbly and you're like, it could be anything, but they say the same mumbly thing twice. And you're like, that is something.
It's a message.
You just don't know what it is. So I said, I wonder what he's trying to say. Cause I'm like, can you decipher it? But I don't want to let her know I'm scared yet. Cause I know my sister like might co-sign on my fear. Yeah. She said, I just heard him saying I just heard him from the other room start saying, bye, Nikki. I said, Jesus, that's scary, from the kid who sees ghosts. And yeah. I said, and I'm about to take off on a plane. She said, haha, but he was looking out the window like he remembered seeing you leave. It's not an omen. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Or he saw my ghost. I said, Forrest knows things we don't, LOL. I threw an LOL just to be like, right? I literally did throw an LOL. That was intentional. I go, I just keep having weird things happen before this flight that make me superstitious. And this is the icing on the cake, baby. I'm also trying to be like, this is the icing on the cake. But like, we're still joking, even though I am literally quaking in fear and like questioning getting off, even though I will not make my show if I take a later flight. Mm-hmm. She said, oh no, maybe you're right. Oh shit, what else? Get off now. No. And I go, Lauren, I can't. We are on the runway and I have a show. I said, this stuff is not real. She said, I know, you'll be fine. Don't psych yourself out. I said, I felt this in my Uber too. Thought something bad would happen there too. It's one of those days. She said, do you normally have these days? I said, not really, but I can't be someone who gets off a plane because of omens. That's a person with mental health issues. This is so wild. She goes, I don't think so. Sometimes you just have intuition. She goes, no, I don't think you're crazy. I think sometimes you just have intuition. And I go, I am mostly on an empty Southwest flight. And the flight attendant said many times that no one has to be in a middle seat. And a woman sits down between me and the aisle guy. And now she's picking her hand skin and biting it and flicking off the skin. Like, this woman was ripping at her skin and it was bleeding. And she's picking the skin off and then flicking it. And it was disgusting. Flying on me.
And so obviously the plane deserves to go down now. I mean, that's right, classic like movie thing that you're late to the flight and you get on it and that's the one that's going to crash. And you like, and now you're disgusting and horrible. And it's like, well, the more of those on the flight, then the more likely it is that God will strike it with a lightning bolt.
He's like trying to tell me, like, get off this. Like, I'm putting this woman next to you. There's, you don't belong. Like, this is, there are too many weird things happening. Get off. But I can't switch my seats at this time because it's about, we're almost about to take off. You know, like, they're shutting the overhead bins.
Yeah.
So that's not a time to be like, I'm going to switch my seat. And it would have been very obvious to this woman, like, I can't take your shit, you know? And I just didn't want to be that way. So instead, I took a picture of her picking her skin and sent it to my sister. So that's nice.
Right.
She said, ooh, you gotta move. I said, I don't want an aisle, because that's all was. And I said, and I think all the windows are taken. I said, it's wild. She's twitching, this poor lady. I should be nice. She's just crazy. She said, you'd rather have her than an aisle? And I go, I think it would just be a hassle and everyone is seated and it would cause a scene. And then nothing. And then I texted her, I landed. And I said, Forrest ESP was off. And she said, so glad you're alive. But I just, you know, it's these moments in your life where you go like, am I gonna let my mental illness, because that is mental illness, to think that you know better than facts and like you're like this, that you're getting this feeling. But it's also not, because we also get told like, go with your gut, you know, like trust your instincts. Like if you get a weird feeling about a guy, don't like go on into a second location with him. And it's like, is it that I have a weird feeling about him, or is it like I ate something weird earlier, or is it that, like, how often do you trust this instinct? Because how ridiculous is it if I get off that plane, I miss my flight because Nikki had a bad feeling it was going to crash, even though it totally didn't, and then it lands, and then I miss my show. Like, I can't do that. And I know that there's, I know we have besties who have anxiety and who have definitely missed out on things because of this bad feeling before. And I've heard stories of people actually getting off planes because they just have a weird feeling. And I honor that. And I have been that person in certain circumstances. But sometimes you just got to die in a plane crash because you got a show in Gary, Indiana that night.
Yeah. But you know what? Thank you for texting your sister that you had a feeling, because if the plane did crash, then we'd have that great story.
Yes, Brian, that is exact. This is okay. Thank you for saying that. This is what I'll end it with. If you are someone out there who has these feelings sometimes and you feel like, oh my God, I'm going to cause such a scene, and if I die, I might die in this, but I also really don't have a lot of facts to back it up that I'm going to die and I'm scared. Text someone your anxieties, have a record of it, because if you do die, people will be like, it will be, you will be famous for predicting it. Like, it will be the biggest story in the world. And so there'll be some kind of, like, make sure you get it out there, because the worst thing that would happen would be for you to have these premonitions, to die, and then no one knows about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that gave me some kind of control in it, that I was, if God was going to take my life away in that moment because I was ignoring his signs, he would actually have to deal with the fact that people are going to know he exists or something. You know what I mean? Like, because of my intuition, like he was going to out himself because I had blown his cover with my sister's texting her, or he could have just killed her and ruined
it,
her phones.
After all these millennia, Nikki got me.
Nikki Blazer. I got you, God. All right, we're going to go to break. Come back after this. We will come back. You can too.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Oh, I have such a busy week ahead
tell
of me.
Us.
Can you talk it's about just, what's going
how
on?
How much can
it's
you tell us?
So much.
Lovers and Liars.
Lovers and Liars is premiering, so I have some press to do for that. So that's April 11th. The first episode is out right now on the CW app. Mm-hmm. Great reviews. I saw Benedict last night from the show. He came and opened for me in Pechanga. And he's the lead of that. Yeah, the Pechanga Casino, which, by the way, I went to the Pechanga Casino in 2007 because was friends with Doug Benson. And Doug Benson was opening for Sarah Silverman here in 2007. And so he brought me along because I was staying at his house when I was visiting LA, or his apartment. And so he was like, do you want to go with us to see Sarah Silverman at Pechanga? And I was like, drive down to San Diego with Sarah Silverman in a car with us three. She was my Taylor Swift at that time. People don't know this, but I had posters of Sarah Silverman on my wall. I had bought and this was 2006 and seven. So it's like the internet wasn't as like full of stuff of people, but I had to like order these shirts and posters.
Oh,
like
that was so much better.
Yeah, to be a silvery or whatever I was back then, it took a lot of effort. I would like buy magazines on eBay with a little article about her that would say like what her favorite book was, and then I would buy that book and read it. Like I just wanted to be. I was just as obsessed. I went to see Jesus Magic on opening day in the theaters, and I was on the edge of my seat. And I remember my parents looking at me like I was gay. You know, like our daughter loves this woman too much, and I probably was. So when 2007 rolls around, I go to LA. I'm friends with Doug Benson because I met him on Last Comic Standing when I went to, I made it to the semifinals when I was still in college. I went to LA. I already knew Doug Benson from Best Week Ever. I was a huge fan. And then he was in the semifinals too at Best Week Ever, or at Last Comic Standing. So I'm a college student.
Best Week Ever had a competition.
I mean, I would have signed up for that. I loved that show so much.
Yeah.
But I saw him and I saw Tig at this hotel that I was checking into for my first time in LA as like a performer. And I was checking in to be on the show, and I'm still in college, and I'm like in over my head, and there's 40 comedians, and Doug Benson is at the front desk, and I'm like, oh my God, I love you, Doug Benson. And I was like, I had just made a list at school of my top 10 favorite comedians. I was working this like telemarketing job, and I was bored, and I was like, I'll make a list of my top 10 favorite comedians, and he was number 8, and I told him that. And you shouldn't tell someone they're number 8, even though that is a great spot to have on
a
list.
Do you have the rest of the list, or you just remember 8?
I just remember he was 8, and remember he was kind of annoyed that I told him that. But and I go, what are you doing here? I just was like, why are you at this Glendale hotel in near Pasadena? And he was like, oh, I'm doing Last Comic Standing. I was like, what? I'm competing against number 8 in the world? Mm-hmm. And I've been doing comedy for 8 months? I was just like, oh, God. But anyway, we became really good friends while doing that little show. He started having me on the road with him. The first time I went on the road with him, I flew out to L.A. And before we went on the road together, I just was hanging out in L.A., crashed on his couch. And he was like, do you want to go tonight to go with Sarah and me to Pechanga, to Temecula? I'm like, Pechanga. Yeah, is she okay? So I'm in the back seat of Taylor Swift's car, pretty much. I am in the back seat of it. On the way down, we drive down there. At one point, I'd met her once before, so I don't want to make this story too long, but when I first got into town, when I landed, I get to Doug's apartment, and he's like, tonight we're going to go to Jimmy's show, and Sarah's going to pick us up. And I was like, I don't even know what these names are. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. He's like, we're going to Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Oh, Kimmel.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo was a part of the story as well, but we're going to go to Jimmy Kimmel's show, and Sarah's going to pick us up. This was Sarah and Jimmy were dating, and I'm like, what? Like, what is my life? And then I remember getting in her car, and I remember her, like, beautiful pony. Like, I was looking at her ponytail, and I was in the back of her Saab.
And we were driving to Jimmy Kimmel, and then we went. It was amazing. It was the night where she debuted. I'm fucking Matt Damon. You know that song that was like huge. It was the night that debuted. Yeah. I think it was like Jimmy's birthday or something. It was huge, and it was such a party at Jimmy Kimmel Live back then. It was like 2006 or this was 2006 actually. So then later that summer, I think, was when we went to Pechanga, and I met her that night, obviously. But then this was like a road trip with her. And she was talking about some interview she did when we were in the car. And she was like, yeah, I just did. She was like, it's so crazy how you like forget what you've done or like what your old jokes were. She was talking about like the, you know, how long it's been she's been doing it and kind of doesn't remember how she started or whatever. And she said some interview, a guy had asked her, when did you start doing music in your comedy? And she was like, and I didn't know what to say. I don't even know when I started. And I was like, the first time you went on stage, I'm in the backseat. I'm like, I think like the first time you went on stage, didn't you sing like a parody of the song Memories, but it was about your boobs and it was like called Mammaries. She just, I remember she was just slowly turned around. She goes, how do you know that? And she was just like, what? And I just said, I think I know more about you than you know about yourself. I was like, I'm really huge fan.
That's amazing.
And so we went to Pechanga, and I remember being at the same stage I was on last night. I remember being side stage being like, oh my God, this full room circle. Is so big. And it's like,
yeah,
and it was really so sold cool. well last night. Anyway, Benedict was on the show. He was so fun and so funny, and we had a good time. And
did you guys do anything Lovers and Liars related?
No, or? He talked a lot about his experience on the show. It was really funny about how he lost twice on F Boy Island and he's back for the show, and how he had a funny bit about being with all these like hot guys on the show. And he's like, I went in like to pursue like love. And he was like, and I came out gay. I think I'm like in love with men now because I'm around these like Adonises.
Yeah.
Of which he is one, by the way. Benedict's sure. like so hot. But he also is like, you know, he's talking shredded. About like his insecurities. It's so funny when like hot people talk about being, and I've been one of them before where I've looked really hot and I've been like, I'm ugly. And people are like, it does not connecting, girl. But people don't know that how Benedict feels naturally, you know. But he's like, I've gotten hair plugs. This is fake. This is, he was talking about all the fake things on him. Kind of like that. The way I do. It was really refreshing. Anyway,
cool.
We had a good time. The show is, he's watched Lovers and Liars. I haven't yet because I don't like watching myself, but I hear it's that first episode's really funny and really good. Mm-hmm. And I know the season's going to be incredible. So check that out on the CW. So I'm doing a lot of press for it this week. Final thought. I also am filming a game show. I'm filming 7 episodes of a game show.
Whoa,
that this
7?
Just came. Dude, I thought it was one episode, right? Like I thought when I said yes to this, which I was happy to do one episode.
Sure, sure.
But now it's because I really like the people involved. I like the production company. I like the title of the show. I like everything about the show.
But you can't say anything about it.
No, but I can't wait till I can because it's so exciting, you guys. So anyway, I was instantly like, yes, I want to do this. I was like the most excited I've ever been to say yes to something. And, you know, besties, you can figure out what it might have something to do with. Like, you know, so I'm like, yes. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to do one episode. And then it comes back like you're doing 7 episodes. Because then I was like, oh, shit, I have to find 7 different outfits. I mean, that is a lot of work to like look head to toe perfect for TV. So then I'm scrambling to find 7 outfits to even come up with the money to buy 7 to not buy 7 outfits, but to like get them styled. And like I'm getting paid this much for the show, but I have to pay this much for styling. Do I really spend 50% of what I'm making on the show so I can look good enough for the show? Like,
yes.
Oh, God.
You do it.
The answer is yes. But then they told me you only have to wear 1 outfit for all 7 episodes. We dry clean it between the days.
Oh.
So I'm taping like three episodes on one day, 4 on the other. So they're long ass days, but we're banging out some TV, and I'm doing that on Tuesday and Wednesday. I have rehearsal for that tomorrow. And so that's why we've had to change the podcast schedule around and do it early. And then I'm on the road next week. Insane. You know, Minneapolis, then New Orleans, then Houston. And then there's another big thing that's going on in my life that I'm preparing for. So it's just a lot of stuff piling up at the same time. And sometimes I'm just like, and then there's also my special is coming out and they're sending me the trailer for it. And they're sending me like the key art, which is like the poster that you see and like what it's going to look like on HBO.
Can you say what it's called?
I don't even think I can say not that.
Hollywood.
Like, I
Why
don't know what's going to happen
us?
If I do, but I just want to respect.
More people will be excited about it.
Yeah.
What a crime. I mean,
God. It's
don't
the
tell anyone
really
before
fun.
We make the announcement, because we don't want anyone to know about it until we want people to know.
This
about
is
it.
Hollywood,
53
dude.
Minutes
I don't
in.
Understand. Yeah, that's true. Like, someone would have to really listen pretty hard into this to get it. But anyway, I'm at a casino now. I'm fine. And oh, this is the added thing. I said yes to do a show that this woman asked me to do a show all the time when I'm in LA, and I'm never available for her show. She's really nice and really cool, and finally she asked me to do one, and I go, oh my god, yes, this is Sunday after I get to LA, I'll get to my hotel and I'll go do this show. Fine, finally I can like do a solid for this lady who's been asking me for so much. I say yes to it weeks ago. She texted me yesterday being like, all right, see you tomorrow, your set's at 3, get there at 3:25, your set's at 3:35. I'm like, what? It's during the day.
Oh my god.
I did look at her text and she said it was a matinee, but I don't think of matinee as like three. That early.
Oh,
I don't
I
know.
Guess
like
it is. The matinee is at like noon in, on Broadway.
Yeah, on well, Sundays.
Like, I didn't. Wouldn't you specify the time a little bit more than just saying matinee? I don't know. I was just reading a text quickly,
well,
and I've never once done
before.
A show during the day.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure
I
you have.
I that's yeah that's not true. I've done many many shows during the day, but not in LA for like so. Anyway, it's for a charity, and I have to go do that, and so that kind of threw a wrench in my day. And and then I have a Zoom call for this game show I'm doing today, and then I also am trying to keep up with Pilates, which by the way, last night on SNL, a lot of besties sent me a Pilates sketch. It's so funny. It's like a
what's
fake horror movie where it's like almost like it's like a trailer almost
a
for like a movie.
Horror.
Yeah, girl
mamas.
Horror movie. Yeah, and it's like these girls going to a Pilates studio where it's like a Pilates class where it's dark and they have like a neon sign on the wall that's like, you've got it. And then it's like, now this is the reformer. It's a machine that looks like a torture device slash like a sex machine. And there's always one gay guy in the class who's wearing too short of shorts. And then there's one woman who's like 11 months pregnant who's nailing everything. And then and they also did a part where, and Kristen Wiig is the instructor who's just like very positive, but like kind of a psycho bitch that's like making you do torturous things. And these two girls are going into it like, I don't know, I'm scared. And one's like, it's okay. And the other one's, you know, really not good at it's. It totally is what Pilates is. And then there's one part that I really loved because she was like, how long have we been doing this? Is it like, is this like been like 4 hours? And she's like, it's been 11 seconds. And that's like, that is what Pilates is. It's like everything feels so long. And it was really funny. And I sent it to my Pilates girls this morning and they were like, you've got it, mamas. Like that was the thing they kept saying, like, good job, mamas.
Wait, but, do you have a separate Pilates girls chat with new people in it?
No, this is the first time I've actually incorporated both of my Pilates instructors into one chat. They work at the same studio and they work closely together. But I was like, okay, I think it's time.
One of them is already in girls chat.
No.
Oh, no, this is okay. Separate from girls.
Yeah, Kirsten
girls chat.
Is a Pilates instructor. Kirsten and Hala are Pilates instructors. They are on girls chat. They are not my instructors because one lives in Arkansas and one lives in Kansas City. But I
got
have
it.
My two
that's
Pilates instructors. And that's another thing, like, when you are working out consistently and your schedule gets really busy, you have to just stop working out because you truly can't fit it in. And I know that's like, there's always little things you can do and you can buy the bands and you can just, even sitting on a plane, you can do the bands and like, but I'm not going to do that. So like, it's just, you can't do it all. And I'm just feeling that pretty hard right now, but it's nice to get a podcast in. We're going to get another one in, I think tonight. And so we'll be done with that for the week, even though this is, the easiest of all the things I have to do where I can just kind of be myself. A lot of besties came to the shows this weekend. Thank you so much. And we have lots of shows coming up in April and then all through the summer. I'm just, but it'll be okay. Everything will be fine. Because
we can at least tell the we can at least tell the audience what your show is not named.
Okay.
So that don't. So it's not named Bigger and Blacker. We know that.
Right. Speaking of Bigger and Blacker, I do want to say I am trying a new thing where I'm trying to embrace the pale.
Beyond the pale.
Yeah, I'm trying to just be a pale girl and like not think of my skin tone as like a bad thing because I. feel disgusting without a spray tan. Like, I really feel, it's the way girls feel that get manicures all the time and then you don't have a manicure. Like, that's the way, I don't ever feel that way about my hands because I don't get manicures enough. But I can imagine if you're a manicure girly, when you have just regular hands, they're disgusting to you and you can't picture your life without them. I'm trying to ease into being, showing my body off. Like, I have no problem being completely naked when I, like, and being like wearing, I could wear pasties on stage when I have a spray tan. I have a lot of body confidence when I have a spray tan, ton of it, almost too much. But when I am pale, I have zero body confidence and it's really hard for me. But this weekend, I just didn't want to get a spray tan because I'm doing this game show, right? And I want to be really spray tan for that. So I can't get a spray tan on Friday for my Friday and Saturday show, because then by Tuesday when I tape the thing, it's sluffy, right? It's falling off and you can't take it off faster and then put a new one on. It has to fall off naturally, so I have to time it perfectly. So I was forced this weekend to just be pale as shit, and I didn't want to paint my body, which I usually do. If I can't spray tan, I usually just put on the paint, but that makes me feel sticky. And so I was like, let me just try to not spray tan, and I think it went okay. I haven't seen the pictures yet, but I'm like, I just am just going to try this. And because Taylor Swift does it, she's not always spray tanned.
No.
And she looks great.
Yeah, I haven't seen her.
But I'm wondering if she's like 20 pounds lighter than me, because spray tans do make you look thinner. There is no question. They instantly seem to take off 10 to 15 pounds of your body. And I'm sorry to say that. It just is the way it is. And so I wonder if like you have to be so much more thin to look normal. Tan, like, this is just my dumb brain talking, but it is true, when you get a spray tan, people think you lose weight. And so I just have to be comfortable looking the weight I am and not doing an optical illusion. But I did go on stage last night, and I was wearing a crop top, tank top, but I did wear pants. I didn't expose my pale legs yet, because that's my biggest fear, is that people won't say I have good legs anymore, because that's what I get. That's the one thing I consistently get accolades on that I don't have to really try for. I know I do Pilates, but I already have good legs even if I don't do Pilates, just because, and it's not because I'm did anything special. It's just luck. I have my dad's legs. I have a dad bod. And I'm worried that those compliments will stop if they're not tan. Like, it's almost predicated on being tan. So I'm a little scared to show those. Please don't slide in my DMs and be like, we love you no matter what. I know you do. Thank you so much for saying that preemptively. Ghosts. But I just, I'm like predicting what people are not. They're like, we weren't even going to. But yeah, I'm going to challenge myself to start being like a pale girly. And like, because I never think people look bad pale. It's only me.
Pale's so great. I love pale. It's
really
amazing. Yeah, I prefer
especially
pale.
Porcelain,
I think.
Pale. No,
I
mean,
I like, it's good to mix it up, I think. It's sometimes you're pale, sometimes
God.
You're not.
But it's so fucked up that white women are desperately trying not to be white, to look hot as they can be. And yet when it comes to like, you know, having a privileged life, white is like, no one can deny being white is like an easier life. I'm not saying, I don't have the experience of not being white, so I don't know, but I've heard rumors that being white is like, it just things, it's a privileged life. But then we're, us rumors, white ladies are fighting it constantly.
You and read that, in TMZ? That
if I was someone who had a naturally bronzed complexion, I would be fucking calling out white bitches so much for being you like your, when you're white, when it gets you more money and jobs and opportunities and everything. But God, you want to be us when it comes to looking fuckable, don't you? Or what? Like, if I was a stand-up girl, I think someone needs to make that connection between, and I've tried it before a little bit of like, I am doing, like when girls get a spray tan, it's blackface, but it's like for women who are Brazilian. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are we not getting called out for like literally darkening our skin tone? Why is that?
Well,
why are we being canceled for that? I think we should be, because then I don't have to do
naturally.
It anymore.
You could get a tan naturally and become that color, but you're never going to become black.
Not that
naturally.
Color, man.
I guess, right?
Like,
you have to tan
Irish,
a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get very tan as a child, but I would, if I was a naturally, please don't misconstrue my words and think that I think I'm privileged because I'm white. I'm just, based on things I've heard, You know, I'm not speaking out of turn here, right? Like,
this is insane, Nikki. Are you saying that white people have privileges that other people don't have?
Yes, I've heard that
Who
we do.
Who says that? Who
and I don't like that we do.
Rumor?
I don't want to have that, but it's so funny to me that white people are constantly trying not to be white.
Yeah.
And yet, it's just, I would call it out. And I definitely think there's going to be a wave of like backlash in the future of girls getting really dark spray tans where we like really shame them and be like, I can't believe we thought this was acceptable at one point. And I think I'm going to be front and center in that, backlash. And I'm going to lose my Tonight Show that I'm about to get because they'll be like, did you see these resurfaced pictures of Nikki doing bronze face? And I'm going to be canceled because
Brazil
it'll come back
skin?
To haunt me.
Yeah.
Dude, all I can say right now as we go is that everyone needs to go look up the Kirstie Alley story of her telling Barbara Walters in the 90s about her parents' car crash. Her parents both died in a car crash. It's so tragic. But I cannot believe this clip just surfaced. It's talk about what a different time it was. And I'm not saying it was a better time. It's completely fucked up what was acceptable. Barbara Walters is asking her, Brian, I don't think you're going to believe this. I don't think you're ready.
I don't know the whole story, so I don't know even what this
is. So Barbara Walters is talking to Kirstie Alley, and she says, like, tell me about the story about your parents passing. And she's like, I found out about it, and obviously I'm at the hospital. They said your dad is dead and your mom is going to die. And maybe it was the other way around. And I'm at the hospital. I'm with all my siblings, and we're sobbing and crying. And I go, where were they going? And my sister said, a Halloween party. And I said, and she goes, and I don't know why I even said this. I don't even know why I thought it. But I said, what were they dressed as? And my sister said, the Odd Couple. And I go, oh, you know, like Walter Matthau and whoever? And she said, no. Your mom was dressed as a black girl. And your dad was dressed as a Ku Klux Klan member.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought in that moment, that is the greatest gift to get is that it's so funny. Like she's like, it was, I forget what she says, but she said it was like a sign that it was like her parents were watching. Like, but like, it's so
wow. Wait, so she went full blackface?
I mean, I can only assume. But but Barbara Walters is not stunned by this revelation. Like, it was not, this did not resurface until now. Like, no one at the time was like, what the fuck?
No,
like, this was the 90s,
different
and that
time.
Was for some reason acceptable to go in blackface to things. Okay, I have to go because the people are, but you guys go look up that clip.
That's insane.
It's Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer are watching it. I think that's how it resurfaced, is them commenting on it. It's nuts. So I'll leave you on that. 90s. We'll see you tomorrow on the podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye, and don't be care. Bye, guys.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.